Good morning. Glad you guys could join us today. We're going to read from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 42. Just one verse. And then I want to read also from chapter 3, from verse 1 to verse 12. Okay, so chapter 2, verse 42 in Acts. And they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And then going on in chapter 3. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the ninth hour, the hour of prayer, and a certain man who had been lame from his mother's womb was being carried along, whom they used to set down every day at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, in order to beg alms of those who were entering the temple. And when he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he began asking to receive alms. And Peter, along with John, fixed his gaze upon him and said, "Look at us." And he began to give them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I do not possess silver and gold, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, walk." And seizing him by the right hand, he raised him up, and immediately his feet and his ankles were strengthened. And with a leap he stood upright and began to walk, and he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they were taking note of him as being the one who used to sit at the beautiful gate of the temple to beg alms, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what happened to him. And while he was clinging to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them at the so-called portico of Solomon, full of amazement. Verse 12, but when Peter saw this, he replied to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this, or why do you gaze at us, as if by our own power or piety we had made him walk?" Amen. The reason why I wanted to read one verse in chapter 2, it talks about what the early church had done. And I shared with you guys on Sunday, the power and the impact of the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit comes in power. But secondly, also that it'll equip us to go out and evangelize. And so, just in the context of things, after Christ's ministry, death, resurrection, and he imparts the Holy Spirit, and even in that, in all its glory and all the excitement, but then in verse 42, the real grunt work begins. This is what I consider like, in warfare would be the trench work. And it breaks down to these four things, simply. Being committed to teaching, right, through the apostles or through scriptures. To fellowship, which is to pray together, encourage each other, connect with each other, in the spirit. Three, breaking of bread, which literally is eating and sharing a meal together. And four, prayer. And so for all the I don't want to say cinematics, but for all the show and the glory and the power that the Holy Spirit had ushered in, it's this kind of day-to-day Christian activity. This is why we put such an emphasis on small groups. It's within your small groups that, okay, well, non-believers see the church, kind of through a lens, through media, through newspapers. They pick up all the negative stories, all the bad apples, you could say, of what Christians do in the church. One bad story of one bad pastor, and it just brings down people's perception. And then some of them even have been exposed to the church. I'm talking about non-believers, whether they were young or even at an older age, and they come and they meet a Christian who, maybe was struggling on that day and said or did something stupid. And so to them, oh, Christianity, forget it. I've been around them before. But then a non-believer, comes into a weekly environment where Christians are coming together and through regularity, they get to hear, of their struggles, of their needs, and one person shares a struggle one Wednesday or Thursday, whatever, on a small group, and people gather together and cover and pray for them. And sure enough, through these four things and through time, a non-believer can begin to really see the attributes, you know, of God, of Christ in believers, and the effectiveness, you know, really of the small group really takes its toll. Really, I feel like what I'm trying to say is the day-to-day living out of Christians coming together, you know, can be exposed, can be revealed, and people come to faith through that. Going on in chapter 3, a couple things here. I really like, I've read this passage so many times, but a couple observations that came out. In verse 2, "And a certain man who had been lame from his mother's womb was being carried along when they used to set down every day, whom they used to set down every day at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, in order to beg alms of those." And whatever the condition, whatever the struggle, you know, the danger is, and we have the capacity to get comfortable with our situation. You know, whatever struggle that you're, you know, that you have, that you're having difficulty with, whatever hardship, whatever sin or vice, condition, you know, it's, I would say sometimes it can be human nature where we just kind of, you know, settle and we get comfortable. Okay, well, this is how it is. And we just kind of get into routine. And this is what this guy was doing. You know, every day he would just go. In verse 3 and 4, and it's not in the verse itself, but I want you to catch this. "And when he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he began asking to receive alms. And Peter, along with John, fixed his gaze upon him and said, 'Look at this.'" And I kind of inserted this in my Bible. It's not there, but right in between verse 3 and verse 4, I kind of added a little star and a note. And I added a little inset, and I said, right there. You know, did you see that? So you can easily go from verse 3 to verse 4. Peter's walking by, about to go into the temple, and right there, they gaze and they look at this person. And so, you know, any situation, any day, a crowded group, things are happening, a lot of things are you know, wanted or needed of you, and at this very moment, it's a ministry opportunity. They could have just gone by to the next group or to the next room or into the temple and do what they would have done, but right there, God prompts on their heart, and it's an opportunity and an invitation for them to minister to someone. And I think a lot of times, you know, we see the need, but we have our routine or we have what we have planned. I'm supposed to meet my friend at lunch at 12:15, and you walk through a busy corridor and you recognize the need, someone you know, a homeless or someone you know, in the middle of a situation, and maybe they could be encouraged by a touch or by a prayer. You know, so I think sometimes in our culture we feel like we can't approach people we don't know, but that's not true. You know, we've heard of examples, you know, of testimonies where Pastor Bob, you know, people he doesn't even know, when he's on an airplane, you know, he'll just pray for them. Hey, can I pray for you? Right? He gives that illustration of was it Arthur Fonzarelli? Right? People won't reject a prayer. And so here an opportunity, and in verse 5, and you can kind of circle this word, and I thought this was interesting. The word began, the third word, depending on your which version of the Bible, and began to give them his attention. Now, it's interesting because I'm trying to think of myself in this, you know, person's perspective, and how many people go by and by, and out of what? Maybe 100 people that walk by, you know, if I had to guess, maybe one person will give you something, give you money or give you a contribution. And so this person is looking for help or assistance, but he's not really. Do you know what I'm saying? He's kind of going through the motions. He's seeking assistance. He's seeking for someone to touch and fill a need, which in this particular case would be money, but he's not really. And so it's not until Peter and John stop and gaze into him, right? Stop and say, hey, you know, I see you. I see your need. I see you as a person. That at that point that he begins to really engage. And so he began to give him his attention. And as usual, just expecting, you know, whatever people usually give. And in verse 6, Peter goes on, you know, I don't have silver. I don't have gold. And he just, man, he brings down the power and just brings healing upon him by calling on the name of Jesus. And verse 7, and I'll just say this, you know, he grabs his hand and raises him up. It takes faith on both parts. It's not just the faith of the recipient.
It's not just that person having to reach out his hand and getting a grip of who is it? Is it Peter here? But it's also faith on the part of Peter, right? And you know, if you've been in that situation, especially in ministry, if you're praying for someone, you know, it takes faith on both parts for God to act. The one who's kind of ministering and the one who's receiving. And 2 points here, and then I'll close. In verse 10, and they were taking note of him as being the one who used to sit at the beautiful gate of the temple to beg alms, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what happened to him. Right? It doesn't stop at just wonder and amazement. So if you go to any church event or whatnot, or you know, you pray for someone and that person gets healed, it never stops at just wonder and amazement. Our job as Christians and as ministers, we're not done when a person says, wow, man, that was awesome. Oh, that was so cool. How did you do that? What did you say in your prayer? That's not the end goal. The end goal in verse 12, and this is, you know, the deal closer or what the purpose of this all. But when Peter saw this, he replied to the people, men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why do you gaze at us as if by our own power or piety we had made him walk? And then, of course, at this point, he ushers in and brings in the gospel, right, of Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior. So let's bow our heads. And just kind of meditate and chew. You know, one, you know, are we actively participating, you know, in a small group? You know, in Hebrews it says, do not be in the habit of not meeting together. You know, there's a reason for that. You know, we're not meant to be, you know, solo. We weren't meant to be isolated. You know, kind of tap in on a Sunday. You know, it's, you know, the real dynamic and relationship, you know, in experiencing God, really, is through relationship. You know, through receiving mercy, right? Through giving mercy, you know, receiving prayer for, you know, praying for someone. Those are all done in relationship. And so really, you know, small group, you know, or house church is what we call it. It's for the edification of others that God could use you through to bless a need of someone, you know, in a group of 7 and 8, you know, in whatever is going on in each person. You know, you might be the only person that day that might recognize or see or kind of catch something that someone had said, and God prompts it on your heart. Hey, I should pray for this person. In which otherwise that person may not have received any ministry. So you are you committed? I mean, when I think of the church, I, you know, break it down to these 4 things. You know, continually seeking, teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread. You know, actually taking time and sharing a meal. That's the toughest thing to do in Hong Kong. And praying for one another. I just challenge us, you know, just to commit to these things. If you're not in a, you know, well, small group is on break, but you know, even if it's just getting together with a 2 or 3 or 4 people, you know, fellowship, you know, it doesn't cease. And then second, you know, like this beggar, you know. When we come before the Lord and when we seek after his heart, you know, are we ever in this situation where, you know, a few days go by and we're praying, you know, a few weeks go by and we're praying, you know, we're good at it, we're routine. But only once in a while do we really connect, you know? Like this person, kind of just going through the motions, and then something happens, and then they began. You know, are we kind of in the habit of being on an auto cruise, and then when something terrible happens, and then we begin to really seek Him. You know, or only when something is fulfilled or something positive, and then you give praise to God. I just want to challenge us. You know, every day, every opportunity, is an opportunity to seek Him. You know, God's relationship with us is not like the hundreds and thousands of people that pass by, you know, on any given day. But God is seeking intently and gazing into your eyes. And wants to hear your voice, wants to know your thoughts. Just spend some time in meditation.